Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has finally come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And if this doesn't do it for you, if this week's interview doesn't do it for you, I don't think anything could do it for you, because I'm talking to Dean and Marilyn Braxton. And Dean, on May 4th, 2006, had an experience in which he went to heaven, and it's one of the best descriptions and one of the best understandings from a spiritual perspective of how things are supposed to operate on earth with all of heaven behind you. And let me take you back to that day, Dean. That was May 4th, 2006. You're working as a probation supervisor. And what happened?
Well, what happened is that day, got up early in the morning, had a pain on my side, on my right side, and headed to work with that pain. I've had them before. I knew it was kidney stones, and I passed kidney stones, but I've always worked through them. But that day, for some reason, I knew something was wrong. And got to work, the pain didn't go away, left work, came home, stayed home for a little while, then went to the emergency room at the hospital, let them know that I had kidney stones, I believe. Ironically, there was no one in the emergency room. To me, that was surprising. They took me right in, gave me some medication, and I was out for a while. They got a hold of my wife. She came. The doctor said, hey, you know, he has multiple kidney stones on both sides. We have the machine coming. There was a machine that's a mobile machine that goes from hospital to hospital. It just happened to be coming to that hospital the next day, and they decided they would go ahead and blast the kidneys stones. Also,
I've heard of that. Is that a painful procedure?
No, they usually put you out and you don't really feel it. You're sore the next, you know, when you wake up, because it's like anything that hits you 100,000 times, it's going to be some painful. Or some soreness afterwards, but I didn't feel it when I was going through it. But I also had a kidney infection, and that's the key there. They thought they had given me antibiotics to take care of that, but it must not have. For whatever reasons, the doctors didn't check the medical records before they took me into the operation, and so I still had that kidney infection. My wife was there. She took my temperature. I had 104 temperature. She brought it up to the doctors. They said, oh, well, that's just part of the things that I was going through. They went ahead and put me in that machine. And when they did that, we found out later what they did is they pushed that poison, that infection, throughout my whole body.
Oh.
My body just started shutting down on them.
Now, Marilyn, when did you realize this was more critical than just a kidney stone?
Well, I realized it was more critical when you know, they had taken him in, you know, and with 104 temperature. And also he was having chills really bad.
But why would you, as his wife, be taking his temperature? He's in a hospital. How come you did that?
Well, you know, the reason I did it is because I worked at that particular hospital before. And on the same floor, I knew several of the nurses. And there's a thermometer in the room, and I decided to take his temperature.
So you've been in the health field for many years. You understand things like that.
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
In fact, my notes say for 34 years you've been in the health field. Oh, okay, so he has this high temperature. What happened next?
Well, they take him into surgery, and when he comes out of surgery, I spent about the last half hour in the recovery room with him, where the anesthesiologist approached me and told me that my husband needed to be in the intensive care unit because of the infection and because he needed more fluids. But he went in, and immediately they wanted to put a PICC line in him, or a central line. Now, that they usually put that in your neck or in your chest, and they were going to attempt to put it in his jugular. But what happened, they reached a blockage, and during that time, you know, they come back to get me in the waiting area, and I looked at Dean, and Dean was barely breathing. And I looked at the doctor, and I said, well, what happened? And he said, we reached a blockage in his neck, and we put it in his chest instead. And then the doctor looks at me, and it's a critical care doctor that I didn't know at the time, and he looks at me, and he says, we need to intubate your husband right away, or else he could die. All of this happened so suddenly. And that intubation is where they put a tube down your throat.
It's like a breathing tube? Or
It's a breathing. They're going to actually put him on a breathing machine to breathe, because he was barely breathing.
So then you realize this is getting serious. What happened next?
Yes, I did. You know what I did? You know, this was just by the grace of God. I left the room because they were going to do the procedure, but we lived probably about 5 minutes from the hospital. And as I got out to the car, drove off on the road, no more than a couple of blocks, I get a phone call from the doctor that did the surgery itself. And he told me, Marilyn, your husband's heart just stopped, and they are doing CPR on him right now as we speak. And all I could say was, what? And I remember saying nothing else, and I hung up the phone. I continued to go home, believe it or not, because I had purpose to go home to grab some clothes, and I was going to stay overnight. But I continued to go home, called my son, daughter, asked them to begin to pray, called up several other friends, and I had a...
But wait, what does this mean, that his heart stopped? Does that mean he's dead? What does that mean?
That does. That means that they're trying to get his heart back pumping, working. And they worked on him for an hour and 45 minutes, and they called it prolonged cardiac arrest.
So when they're working on him, does that mean his heart's not beating?
That's exactly.
For an hour and 45 minutes? How's that possible?
Yes, that's it's wild.
Huh.
But things just seem to just spiral down. You know, he was supposed to go home, have this surgery, and be released and go home the next day. He spent 13 days in the hospital, and 9 of those days was in the intensive care unit.
Now, when you realized that you're about ready to lose your husband, what did you do?
You know, I just gave it to God, and I put my trust totally in the Lord, and I continued to pray. I didn't panic. But I just trusted in the Lord. And I went home. A girlfriend picked me up, took me back to the hospital. We prayed. And then after we were all in the waiting area, several friends came. The Lord just put a song in my heart just to sing and give him praise, even in the midst of the storm.
Now, Dean, you had told me something interesting, that you had found out about one of our guests. Did you see him on TV or hear him on radio?
What we did is we really heard him on your computer, on the computer. We went online and pulled up the show and listened to him on the show.
So that was Curry Blake, and he had a seminar on from the John G. Lake Ministry on healing. You and your whole family went to that. Marilyn, if you hadn't gone to that seminar, do you think that Dean would be with us today?
You know, it's possible that he couldn't have. You know, I really learned a lot from that training, and it was awesome. And I think I began to have a little bit more boldness and authority. I became more aggressive, just dogmatic in my belief for healing.
Okay. So for 7 days, Dean, you were not aware of what was going on, or were you?
No, I wasn't. I was not really aware of what was going on until after they finally took the breathing tube out of my mouth. Now, I knew I had died. I just did not know why I had died. You know, I had been with Jesus. I had been in heaven. I knew all that, but I didn't know what had happened to cause that for me to have that experience, to be honest with you. The last thing I remember was going into hospital for kidney stones. And I remember after they had taken the breathing tube out of my mouth and talking to the person there, he was a friend of mine, and telling him that I'd seen Jesus 3 times. But in my mind, I was thinking, what had happened? I don't remember being hit by a car. I don't remember falling off a building. I remember going into the hospital for kidney stones. But I also thought, that could not have caused this.
Okay. From a medical viewpoint, Marilyn, and you understand this, did the doctor say he was dead?
He didn't say that he was dead, but he said, your husband's heart stopped. He isn't breathing. And we worked on him for an hour and 45 minutes. Even after Dean was released from the hospital, I confronted this doctor myself, who was the critical care doctor, and I said, would you please tell me again how long you worked on my husband? And he said, I worked on him for an hour and 45 minutes.
So we're saying then that for an hour and 45 minutes, your husband's heart was not beating.
That's right.
Okay, we're out of time right now, but Mishpacha, when you understand what it's like to be seated in heaven and be on earth, you will understand prayer. You'll understand your authority. This is probably one of the best descriptions and understanding of heaven you'll ever read. And what God downloaded into Dean Braxton that he's revealed in this book will be life-changing for you. And then we did a special teaching CD. The special CD will include the radio broadcast and then information that he's never put in a book that Jesus explained to him in heaven. Both available for a donation of $22. The book is called In Heaven. To hear this week's interview in its entirety or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpacha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.